It is the power of God. He goes on in verse 20. Where is he who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The message that we bring in preaching is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Could there be anything more central to our life, anything more foundational to being a Christian than Jesus Christ and Him crucified? But Paul warns, this will seem like folly, like foolishness to the world. He talks about the Jews and he talks about the Greeks. Verse 22, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for the anointed one of God, the one who had been promised for so many years to come and save His people and reign over them. The Jews were looking for a mighty and powerful king to take His place on David's throne. Paul says, we preach Jesus Christ crucified. Not the mighty and powerful king, not the great one who would come as the final anointed, but Christ crucified. The Jews wanted signs. Even though Jesus did so many miracles, they came to Him again and they said, give us a sign of Your power. I think Matthew 12 speaks about that. And He says, there'll be no sign given but the sign of Jonah. How Jonah was in the fish for so many days, so Christ will be in the grave. He pointed to His death. And for Jews, that made no sense. They were looking for a powerful, reigning king. And Christ points them to His crucifixion. A sign of curse by God. The crucifixion was a picture of God's curse upon someone. They were looking for the anointed, not the cursed. And yet Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. That's why Jesus was a stumbling block for the Jews. He did not fit their picture of the Messiah that they were looking for. A stumbling block for the Jews and folly to the Gentiles, folly to the Greeks. The Greeks look for wisdom. The Greeks are credited with the founding of so many parts of Western culture, our understanding of history, our understanding of oratory, of public speaking. There were certain rules that the Greeks followed when they would address the crowd. It was wise words, carefully thought out. The Greeks were known for their literature and for their oratory, for public speaking. And yet they had Christ who comes, who is not schooled in the literature. Christ who comes, who does not follow the conventions of public speaking. Christ who comes and simply declares the kingdom of God. The message was foolishness to Greeks. It didn't follow the rules. It didn't fit the pattern. To speak of Jesus Christ, one who was crucified, a God who would come and suffer. Again, the Greeks looked for perfection. For a perfect creator, a perfect ruler, a perfect redeemer. And to have God come and suffer and die and be crucified made no sense to them. It was folly. Foolishness. Jews demand signs. Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. And yet that is the message that we still bring today. A message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Whether or not it makes sense to our human understandings of what we think we should hear. Preaching is not first of all to be 12 easy steps to having a better family. 3 good principles for business to conduct. 5 ways to get through college easier. Preaching is not to give us lists of things to do. preaching declares Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Preaching takes us to the cross of Christ. And that's what you must expect, and that's what you must demand every time God's Word is opened. Children, when you are here in church, you need to listen for how the Bible talks about Jesus. Because all the texts we will look at, all the various parts of Scripture, will point us to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so you need to listen for that. There will be different stories we look at, different parts of the Bible. Some will be the letters of Paul. Some will be historical narrative. Some will be parts from the Psalms or the Proverbs. But all of us, in order to have the title preaching, must bring us to the foot of the cross. Must bring us to Jesus Christ, crucified. And we confess and we embrace Him as our Lord and as our Savior. That's the message. It may seem like folly to the world. It's not 12 easy steps for a better family. Oh, that will flow out of our understanding of who God is and what He has done for us. But that's not the first and primary part. The primary message in preaching is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, I don't want to know anything else except for that. That basic, fundamental message, which is folly to the world. But for those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message is characterized as folly in the world's eyes. Those who receive the message. Now, Paul is not very politically correct here. When he talks to his audience, he says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Paul says, recognize who you are. We're not the best and the brightest. We're not the cream of the crop. By the world standards, we are the foolish ones. God calls His people in His own time, in His own way. Consider who you were, he says. Now, maybe there were some who had high power, but not many. He said, not many are wise. Not many powerful. Not many of noble birth. He wants to remind us that we who receive the message, we recipients are those who recognize our weakness, who recognize our frailty. Embracing the gospel is not a matter of human decision, but what does Paul say? But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world to bring to nothing things that are. So no human being might boast in the presence of God. It is not our choice. It is God's choice who receive and embrace the words of the gospel. Oh, the call goes out to all. Repent and believe and know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it is those whom God has chosen, whom God brings here, to hear that word, to hear that message, to apprehend it by faith and embrace the glories of Christ. Now we recognize we are not the best and the brightest, not those of wise and influential and noble birth. We are sinners whom God is calling. We are sinners whom God in His mercy brings together. We are sinners who come again and again every Lord's Day to recognize our need for a Savior, to again be brought to the foot of the cross, to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and know that we are forgiven sinners. Those who have been washed, those who have been cleansed. That's where our boast is, Paul says. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God made Jesus Christ all these things. Our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. We find our holiness in Him, not what we do, not the works of our hands, but what He has done. And His perfect righteousness and holiness credited to our account. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Not what we could offer to God. Not what we could bring to Him to make Him save us. But what Christ has brought. What Christ has offered. His own life His own blood on our behalf. Therefore, Paul says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We have nothing to boast about in terms of our salvation. We do not say that we had the good sense to choose for Jesus. We had the good sense to respond to the gospel. We recognize it was all of grace, all of God, all of His love and mercy and kindness poured out on us. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, in what God has done. That He has called you to be His son. That He has called you to be His daughter. That He has called you into a relationship with Him. Not because we're the best and brightest, the wisest, the influential, all those of noble birth. But God chose the weak things to demonstrate His strength. God chose us to be His children. Folly in the eyes of the world. But for those who are being saved, the power of God. Paul refers to the message as a message of folly. The word of the cross is folly. He refers to those who were called, not the wise, not those of noble birth. And then he speaks in chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. Paul now reflects upon the method by which he came to speak to the people. Not his speech and message. He's referring to the method and the message. They were not with the plausible words of wisdom. I often, in my mind, picture Paul as this fantastic orator from the pulpit. But that's not how he describes himself. Weakness, frailty, my speech and my message, not in the words of wisdom, with weakness and fear and trembling. And yet he came and he declared the word of God to them. The method he used was the public declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folly in the eyes of the world. If you want to communicate with people, if you want to get a message across that has them embrace it and love it and remember it, probably the worst thing you could do from a communication point of view is put people all together in a small room and have one man talk to them straight for 20 minutes. That's not the world's method of bringing a message. We would have multi-speakers. We would have multimedia presentations. There would be screens up front and flashing pictures and vibrant images and lots of music and sound and color and light. That's the world's way. And yet we preach the gospel. That is God's appointed method. It may seem like folly to the world, but my speech and my message are not in plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, there are lots of different ways we could communicate the gospel. Lots of different things we could do in church. And left to myself, I could be very creative in those ways. Public visual demonstrations, all those type of things. But anything except for the declaration of the gospel would be second best. Because this is God's appointed means. The public declaration of the word of God. Not a multimedia demonstration. Not drama, not videos, not any of that. But simply preaching the word. Folly to the world, but a demonstration of the power of God. It is through preaching that hearts and lives are changed. Paul says, a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
when we start to try to create better ways of doing preaching, better ways of demonstrating the gospel, we risk putting our faith in another method rather than God's appointed method. And then we can take the credit for that. Look how creative we were. Look how inventive we were. No, we preach Christ that the demonstration might be of the Spirit and of His power. And your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The weak, foolish method of preaching highlights the glory of God. Because what we do flies in the face of modern contemporary thought about communication, but it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Preaching is powerful. Preaching changes hearts. Preaching changes lives, not because of the preacher, but because God chooses to work through the preaching, through the method and through the message. And we must not lose faith in that. We live in a time when preaching is being, in many ways, sidelined. It is an old way of doing things. Oh, you still have a preacher in your church? We have multimedia. We must not lose confidence in God's appointed means. It was just as true for Paul as it is today, that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but for those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so, friends, I come to you not proclaiming to have lofty speech or great wisdom, but I want to know among you nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I can assure you the preaching comes to you in weakness and in fear and with trembling. My speech and my method are not with plausible words of wisdom. And yet I trust that God will demonstrate His power and His Spirit, and that our faith together might be built up. Do not lose faith in preaching. The preacher may fail you. The preaching will not. God's word is powerful. It does not return to Him void. And so Sunday after Sunday, we will together look at the Word of God. We will together see the glory of Christ and Him crucified. And by God's Spirit and by His power, our faith might grow. Not because of what our hands have done, but because He is mighty and powerful and acting as He promised He would through the folly of preaching. Let's join together in prayer.